Good morning and welcome. And also want to welcome Pastor Bill to the pulpit again this morning. A couple announcements. First of all, Paula and Bill Brand, they celebrated the birth of a granddaughter, Clara. People already might know that she's, three months old now. But Paula's told me that her dad passed away the end of June of pancreatic cancer. So she's going through that now, too, with the loss of her dad. Also, a couple people asked about all the stuff in the parking lot. Construction is going on Roslyn and Brock Street, and it's going to go until probably the end of next year, maybe even into 2023. But for the safety of the workers and everybody else, they're using that back part of the parking lot for storage. The gentleman I talked to last week, he mentioned about doing a $500 donation every month for using it. So we're going to see stuff there for the next little while. So it's just for safety. And they will fix up the parking lot when they're done, grade it all, even redo some of the ditches that the town kind of messed up. And you'll see the ditch right out here. Durham Region truck tore that up the other day. So that's going to be all fixed up too. So I was just letting you know that's what's going on there right now for the construction. So
thank you, Tony, for sharing that. And I guess when you look at the blessing of roads that get fixed or made better and the donation coming from there and the fixing they'll do, and I think of all the people that have experienced challenges and blessings, truly all things work together for those who love the Lord. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ. Those are key verses, but it's certainly a blessing when you can label times and ways that you experience those. I want to say good morning. I'm Pastor Bill Wensink. A blessing to be here again. My wife gives her greetings. She would come here and join us more often, but sometimes she helps with sign language in one church, and she's also got some of our family are at a church closer by for her, so she'll come occasionally, but she sends her greeting. But a special greeting also from Camp Shalom. They want to thank you for the different ways you keep them in prayer and support them too, even though we're not having a fall fair this year. I'm the chairman of the board there and also chaplain for the mobile camp that they have, which is basically a day-long vacation Bible school. They did it last week in Mount Hope at a CRC church where two or three staff members attend and help with ministry. 2 weeks from now, they'll be doing that in Brantford. And this week, even though at Camp Shalom they had to cancel their overnight camp because of the interpretation of the Ministry of Health regulations in Ontario, they do have full capacity and extended their capacity for the day camp campers. So I'll be the on-site chaplain for about 100 students coming this week from 9 till 4. A lot of the other campers, their parents either donated the money to the camp because they can't stay overnight, or they postponed their camping time until next year, or some of them needed a refund. So that was quite a challenge for Adrian at the camp to do. But when I mentioned to Tim, the director of the camp, that I'd be here, he said to share his greeting and maybe to give a minute of update as well. Praise God for the opening of the new phase this coming Friday at midnight, when a lot of the restrictions will be off. I don't know really what that means for the church, but I think that you can be extra vigilant inviting previous guests or visitors or members back. There's still room for that. And we praise God, too, for the fact that over 50% of those in Ontario are now double vaccinated already. And the rate of first vaccinations and those between 12 and 18 is increasing a lot as well. Way too many announcements. We're here to worship the Lord. When we worship the Lord, we do so realizing that our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Let's use Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, found in the bulletin, for our call to worship this morning, and then we'll stand and sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The call to worship, Psalm 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Just before we share in the prayer of confession, the last verse in the scripture reading for this morning will be from Jeremiah 31, verse 34, where it says, "I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sin no more." One of my favorite Bible verses is 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." In light of those promises of God, let's come before God in the prayer of confession found in our bulletins. Let's pray. Gracious God, your design for humanity is immensely good. You invite us to love you with our whole hearts. You encourage us to have a childlike trust in you. But our sin has corrupted that design, so we worship false gods. We love ourselves more than you, and we believe that we can earn your favor. We are often running in the wrong direction, pursuing the wrong goals, and seeking the affirmation from the wrong people. Forgive us for our confusion and corruption. Cleanse our hearts from our sinfulness, and redirect our lives to honor you only. In Jesus' name, amen. The assurance of salvation from Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like you, who pardons sins and forgives the offenses of your people? You do not stay angry forever, but delight in showing your mercy. Once again, you have compassion on us. You tread our sins underfoot and hurl our transgressions into the depths of the sea. Thanks be to God. And from our Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 29 and 30. I'll read the question and we'll read the answer together. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, meaning Savior? Because he saves us from our sins. Salvation cannot be found in anyone else. It is futile to look for any salvation elsewhere. Do those who look for their salvation and security in others, or in saints, in themselves, or elsewhere, really believe in the only Savior, Jesus? No, although they boast of being His, by their deeds they deny the only Savior and Deliverer, Jesus. Their Jesus is not a perfect Savior, or those who in true faith accept this favor have in Him all they need for their salvation. There are copies of the Heidelberg Catechism. I have one with me too that have the multiple scripture verses that are intertwined in the answers that you find here. So I praise God for ways we can affirm our faith. We're going to come before God in prayer now, keeping in mind what Tony shared, the different blessings and needs. We're going to pray for others and some of those in our bulletin as well. If I miss any, or some are in your bulletin, make sure and continue to pray for these people during the week, and perhaps through a note or different correspondence or different ways of telling them. You can let people know that we are praying for them, and even more importantly than that, that God hears their prayer and answers them in His time and way. Then we're going to close by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of prayer and the gift of this, Your house. Lord, in Your word, You told us so clearly that Your house is a house of prayer. And Lord, when people didn't know how to pray and asked You how to pray, You taught them. Lord, we thank You that in our prayer we can remember how great and good and awesome and faithful You have been and are and will continue to be. Lord, we thank You that we can praise You first and foremost. And Lord, we pray for forgiveness where we haven't remembered Your blessings, Your leading, Your calling, and to live our faith and to let it shine. Lord, we want to pray for others and their different needs. Lord, we think of those individuals that Tony mentioned, those who have different needs, those who have different blessings, those who are celebrating, whether it's birthdays or otherwise. Lord, we want to thank You for the way that the COVID numbers and cases are going down and vaccinations up. Lord, we thank You even that our church parking lot can be used for the needs of the construction that takes place and how they can in return bless the church too. Lord, we want to pray for the many people and situations and things in our bulletin as well. For our health worker prayer list, may we continue to realize how much that the nursing and healthcare people and doctors do. We want to continue to pray for our missions and ministers and ministries. Lord, we want to pray for a ride for the refugees, as we see in the bulletin, and for the ministry opportunities that there are. Lord, we want to pray also for the guest pastors and the meetings in this church in this coming weeks and months. Lord, we also want to pray in our prayer corner for Janet and Nellie, John and Alan, Jasper and Kathy, Lise, Margaret, Charlie, Pat, and Gordon. And Lord, there are others. We are to pray for one another, as we see in our bulletins as well. Tony and Audrey and Nellie. Lord, may we be people who pray for each other. Lord, I pray that You would answer our prayers in Your time and in Your way, and help us to remember the truth of seeking Your face and turning to You, and knowing that, Lord, even if our prayers aren't answered quickly, Lord, We are called to be a people who are patient and persistent and perseverant and bold before your throne and humble before you and others also. So, Lord, we do pray for the meetings of this week. And, Lord, we thank you for the blessings of this summertime, blessings of sunshine and rain, seeing family and friends maybe a little bit more as COVID dissipates. Lord, we want to continue to pray for the restoration of people from the different physical concerns they've had, restoration from the isolation and the different needs that have come through COVID. Lord, we want to pray that you would particularly be with those who have mental health needs, those who have physical and spiritual and emotional and financial needs, and those in the family of God, the family of believers, those in our own families, and those beyond. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we always need to consider it a great privilege that we can see and read and hear your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide us as we do so in just a few moments. Lord, thank you for the songs of cleansing and healing that we can sing together, and for being able to sing those, for the voices and the music that you give, for those who help to make worship possible through administration at the church and here this morning. Lord, we want to continue to pray for our leaders, local and provincial and federal and world leaders, especially with the challenging times that we're in. Lord, we want to pray for those who have faced the difficulty of fires out west. Lord, we want to pray for indigenous families and all the challenging discoveries and things that are done in response to that now too. Lord, we pray that you would hear our prayers, answer your people's needs, and walk with us with your leading. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us the Lord's Prayer that we can share in now together. And all of God's people said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Cleanse me. Just before we share in prayer and have our scripture reading, I want to make one change in the scripture reading for this morning. I think I sent it in incorrectly. It's actually Jeremiah 29, verse 4, 5, and 6. Jeremiah 29, 4, 5, and 6. And then after that, chapter 30, and 30, 1 to 7, and 31, 1 to 6. So Jeremiah 29, 4 to 6, chapter 30, 1 to 7, and 31, 1 to 6. So, as we prepare to hear God's word, I always pray and think in my heart, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. So we're going to ask God, who gave his word through his Spirit, yes, the New Testament some 2,000 years ago, but the Old Testament through the many different authors, all led and given the word of God through his Spirit's leading, that those words from those many writers in those many places are his word that through his Spirit he makes alive now. And I always recall one promise that Jesus gave. Jesus said that after he ascended into heaven, he would give the gift of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit would bring to mind all of the things that Jesus had taught and said and done. And as we look at the Word of God, we realize, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." But may we be people who also know the truth of, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of having your word, the Bible, and in our own language, like many people didn't have long ago. We thank you, Lord, for ministers and faithful missionaries who share your word near and far, and guide them too, in this day as they share your word. We pray, Lord, that your word and your Spirit's leading might go forth mightily in this city, in Whitby, in this province, in this country, and in this world. Lord, may as it scattered out for many people to hear, may it land on fertile soil, because, Lord, your word is the seed and our hearts are the soil. Lord, we thank you for your word, Old and New Testament. And we thank you that we can look forward to what you would have us be taught and learn, for what we can learn by your Spirit in our hearts, in our feeling, in our thinking. And Lord, what we can learn and apply with our hands and our feet and our voices and the way we serve you as salt and as light. And so now, Lord, direct us by your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. And keep the thumbs up too. I hope everyone can hear me okay. It sounds good from here. And if you ever can't, just give a wave or something like that, and we'll do the adjusting so that you can hear clearly. So the word of the Lord, the first reading is from Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 6. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 6. I'm going to read just a little bit of what comes in front of that so you know what to expect. The word of the Lord. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And now verse 4 through 6. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. marry and have sons and daughters and find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, don't decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile, and pray the Lord for this, because if it prospers, you'll prosper too. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and find and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. I can't help but want to stop at Jeremiah 29, verse 11, a favorite verse. Maybe it's one of yours too. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then the second reading, 30 verses 1 to 7. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their forefathers to possess, says the Lord. These are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. Cries of fear are heard, terror, not peace. Ask and see. Can a man bear children? Then why do I see every strong man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor, every face turned deathly pale? How awful that day will be. None will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. And Jeremiah 31, 1 to 6. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. Again you will plant vineyards in the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, cry out saying, come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. And then that verse I read this morning earlier, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more. May God add his blessing to all who hear and read and apply his word. I don't know what really drew me to these verses. Somehow a few weeks ago when I came across one of these, I think in a devotion or so, I found myself saying thinking how much this time of COVID and this time we've had for this past 18 months can be related to what we are experiencing. It can be bridged with what the people experienced. We were not taken for 70 years as captive into pagan Babylon because of sins that we had committed. But in a way, we see the promise. There's a title for one of these sections. We see that it's titled The Restoration of Israel. And it's more than that. It's not only the restoration of Israel, but God through Jeremiah is saying, use the coming out or the standing in of this time to see that God is still working in you and around you and wants to prosper you. And he wants to not only deal with the fact that the people have sinned, but he wants them to look to the future with hope, with confidence, with trust in not just political situations, not in themselves, not in health, but look forward to his leading. And he reiterates for the people of Jerusalem who are in Babylon, God's people, his ancient promises, which stand to this day. When I think back in this time we've had, I think we need to take Scripture more often and say, Lord, help me understand what it means here, but help me to look at the situations I'm in and apply your word, Lord God, to where you might be leading us and what you have to say to me. And let's not put our plans and our hopes in our own thoughts and dreams and wishes. Let's realize that God not simply has answers, but he is the answer with a capital letter A. I think a lot of people are struggling with what this has meant. Why did God allow this? What's coming next? There are some people who are struggling with depression quietly because they've missed the company of others or the finances or the time with family, or the students I talk with, the times of their sports and activities with friends and the family times as well. So many birthdays and anniversaries, even weddings have gone by. The day before the first day of COVID was when my youngest son moved his wedding with about 24-hour notice up to, because everything was going to be further canceled beginning after March 24th last year. Now we stand a week away from, 18 months later, a week away from the anticipated or expected arrival of my sixth grandchild already, their first child. And so even in all of these things, we can see God's leading and blessing. It's hard to look at COVID and say, is this a punishment from God? Because what we have here in Jeremiah is definitely more than just punishment that the people of Israel felt. God allowed the natural consequences of their moving from his leading to take place. And you might say his extra grace and protection around them wasn't there. So we see something. I don't know if I've used this word here before, but I took a course one time in restorative justice. It's basically the way teachers are supposed to handle children who are let's just put it simply, misbehaving or not doing what they're supposed to be. When we take a look at punishment, we're using the wrong word. We should use restorative justice that tries to seek ultimately to restore them to what they should be, even though there's a time for natural consequences to take place too. And that's what happens here. So Jeremiah is in Jerusalem with just the remnant. The people of God were in Babylon, at least the majority of them, taken captive, and they had been punished for continually turning away from God and all that they were called to do and be. They had spent so much time, their leaders, following false gods. And Jeremiah sends a letter, a message from God to the exiles, and that's the majority of what we read this morning. And God's word to Jeremiah are worthy of study, even though they are so old, because there are multiple truths in God's word of how he deals with his people for us here and now, even on the other side of the cross. This was, of course, written BC, before Christ, and they are being applied now by us after that time. And we must find ourselves very often wondering about all the things we've missed. Are the final waves completely done? And now we hear all of the challenging things coming from the West, realizing they're coming here too, and there are great church challenges even around us. Racial attacks, whatever's in the news today. And in the middle of it, God has interesting words, because it comes up three times. Build houses, plant gardens, eat what they produce. Do not decrease, but seek the prosperity of the city in which I have carried you into. Jeremiah 29, verse 10, When the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promises. I think I shared with you once before that one of my favorite Bible verses, I've got a lot, but are in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. In the fullness of time, at just the right time, God fulfilled his promises. The challenge for us is it always seems to take so long. And then that great one, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. It's hard for us to find and see those plans, isn't it? I mean, your elders and your consistory do their best to look for God's leading and his promises, see where God is blessing, what the needs are, look back, look ahead, look at where they are. But ultimately, the restoration and the promise of restoration comes from God to his people Israel, comes from God to us here and now. And all of those great verses about knowing God's plans, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, those blessings can be experienced. I felt extremely blessed to be asked to chaplain at camp for their mobile camps. And as we were in Mount Hope, just south of Hamilton, south of Ancaster, we had 40 kids for this past week, and the combination of the staff who were there, I think in my 45 years of helping at camp in different ways, or being on staff, or volunteering, or being on the board, I can honestly say that this is one of the very best groups of counselors that they have. And the kids who came with their needs. A third of them were from the church and their extended family and friendship circles. A third of the kids were from other churches. And one third of the kids had no Christian background at all. One had just moved in the neighborhood and heard about the program from a sign on the front lawn or from something on the internet. And the blessings that happened were great. It's hard to say how many children had seeds of faith planted in them for the first time, how many responded. The gospel was clearly shared with the foundation of John 3:16. I'd like to share with you a little bit more next Sunday morning about the theme that is at camp this summer and the things that are shared. But there are incredible blessings that are happening, but also incredible struggles. It doesn't take too long in the families of those who came, even in the very short hello and goodbyes at the beginning and end of the day, and in the kids to find out that a lot of struggles are going on, and a lot of blessings, and a lot of challenge. But I think when we look at these verses, I want to kind of pull us to three truths. Three things that happen in these verses that we can also apply here. Some specific things and some general things. I think, first of all, I think the fact that we see God's goodness and plan hidden in this, but God does allow natural consequences and does call for his holiness and goodness to shine. God allows punishment. He allows natural consequences. He allows times to repent, to turn. God allows punishment. God sees that there's sin and it doesn't keep going on forever. God allows, and you might even say ordains, that his goodness demands that his justice take place. But on the other side of that is also the overwhelming grace of God. When we see our sin, when we realize that we have a God-centered hole in our lives, number one, God allows punishment, but number two, God never, never forgets his children. No matter how lost, how sinful, or how long it takes for them to return, he is. I call them the three P's. He is ultimately patient and persistent and perseverant. And when God deals with us and his people, he truly is bold as a lion and humble as a lamb. You see those two words in juxtaposition often in Revelation and in other places in Scripture too. And it's said of Jesus too. Bold like a lion and humble like a lamb. Bold because of his great love for us. And really humble as a lamb led to slaughter. Those promises come up around these verses that we shared too. In a way, God is really a gentleman too, how he comes into our lives. And it's interesting that in these very verses, God calls himself very clearly, God calls himself the bridegroom of the people of Israel. And what's interesting is he calls them not simply Israel, but in our verses he calls them virgin Israel. Even though they had sinned and gone with other suitors and so far had left the fold that God called them to be within, the people are called virgin Israel. And he, the true groomsman. God looks at us that way too. Because of the forgiveness of sin that God offers us in Christ Jesus, he looks at us, even with all of our sin within the church, our families and individuals, he looks at us through the eyes of Jesus. The forgiveness that we accept that God offers through his son Jesus allows us to be called, O Virgin Israel. O Virgin Israel. And we find that so clearly in Jeremiah 29 through 31. We also hear that God never forgets his children. I really appreciate this verse. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim. Can you picture it? Watchmen standing on the hill calling down to people, come, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. I translate that to mean for us now that we are part of that watchman team that can call people as the doors open and COVID dissipates. We can be part of God's calling of his people back up to Zion, to the Lord our God. And I'd like to go so far as to say that's calling people back to houses of worship, times of prayer, times of being together with God's people as we're meant to be. It's been too easy for some of the people in my in younger generations to fall in love with some of the different internet preachers and say, wow, that one's got a good teaching. Wow, there's neat music and ministry that's shared there. And to think that we can have all of the feeding and fellowship we need from the internet. But it's just not so. Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. Let us go up to the house of the Lord, not simply allow it to come into our homes through different social media. I praise God that we can keep in touch through social media, but I believe that God's people were called to have 6 days of work and a seventh day of rest when we go to him and worship him. I believe that's part of the whole that's in our lives that can only be filled thereby, with worship, with putting God first. So the three truths I wanted to close with. God allows punishment, natural consequences, restorative justice. Two, God never forgets his children. And thirdly, God has a plan and a purpose. In and among these verses, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sin no more. The time is coming when I will make a new covenant. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Yes, this is referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit given at Pentecost. But it goes further. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. We also have the promise in here. That very last verse from Jeremiah 30 that I read, but he will be saved out of it. It will be a long time. Therefore, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce. My wife and I, after myself being away for most of this past week with that mobile camp of Shalom, found a place where they had pick your own blueberries. And I couldn't believe it. In about half an hour, we each picked a big pail. I also can't believe how much they charge for it now, but a big pail. big pail of blueberries each. So we've got, my wife is really enjoying eating blueberries with yogurt, to kind of watching our health and that. But that's just one of the many places that we can apply the truth of build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. What a healthy way to support local farmers and to eat things that come from the fruit of our labor, whether it's in our own gardens or other gardens. But what this is really all about is looking ahead. God has a plan and a purpose. But realizing that that plan and a purpose has fulfillment now. God has a plan and a purpose, yes, for us with Him forever in paradise, but eternal life, the promise of eternal life in the basics of John 3:16 is not something that begins with our physical death or when the Lord returns. That eternal life begins when Jesus Christ is Lord of our hearts and lives. And we do pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," meaning that we seek God's leading in our lives, churches, families, world, on earth before the return of Christ, before our death. God has a plan and purpose. Sometimes it's neat having a list of God's promises. We can do that with God's promises about a Savior, a Deliverer, Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, parallel them in the New. Promise, fulfillment. But we can also look at God's Word and realize that there are promises that aren't simply for the Old Testament folks to be fulfilled with the birth and the life and the death of Christ, but there are so many promises that apply here and now. But they're not all health and wealth and prosperity type promises. That's not what it's all about. They're promises that talk about God's faithfulness and His working in and through the lives of His people. It's really neat. This morning I had a good chance to hear two or three people in this congregation who have really experienced challenging physical concerns in the last months. And I'm sure there are many more. But I think as Christians, we have good perspective glasses, good retrospective glasses. Looking back, we see in God's Word promise and fulfillment. But I hope we take times in our own lives to label God's blessings, to realize that He had a plan for us, He has a plan for us now, and He has a plan for us for the future. And it's not simply a hollow plan that gives happiness or giddiness, but it's a deep down joy. That's why we sing in that song, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So the third thing we could learn from here is that God has a plan and a purpose. And we need to pray and seriously mean those words that say, "Thy will be done." Yes, we all have our own feelings of what we like and like to plan. We had feelings for Camp Shalom that after last year when everything was canceled, I don't think one child, one student entered that campground the whole summer. Then this summer looked great. Good plans were put in place, staff was hired. We knew that there would have to be a lot of work having individual groups. They're called cohorts, and they couldn't mingle with each other, so how to plan that to work well? A real challenge it was to make sure that the students would wear masks at the right time, but with their cohorts they didn't have to. How meals would get brought to individual cabin groups as they were using tents outside for the day camp instead of the cabins because they'd be too close together. Making sure they could still interact with each other in games, activities, Bible study times, sports and all kinds of things, but yet having everything safe and then finding out a few weeks before camp that the local interpretation meant that no overnight guests could take place. And there are many special needs, Christian, non-Christian, group home, Reformed Church, Christian Reformed Church, many other churches who sent their kids there who had to be told, sorry, I know you paid for and signed up for camp 2 weeks from now, but you can only come during the daytime. What would you like to do? I felt sorry for Adrian, who had 60 families he had to call. And a lot of them went into a day camp program instead, partial refund and all that planning, all that changing, and in the middle of it, can we say God has a plan and a purpose? Well, what's the good of that, having all those changes take place? The total number of kids served through Camp Shalom this summer, if you include all of the day camp kids and the mobile camp kids, is almost, I believe it's almost 800, the highest it's been in decades. Mind you, though, a lot of those are only coming 9 till 4, but they are being taught by Camp Shalom staff with a theme that puts the Word of God first, with counselors who've had 2 weeks of training and very bluntly know what they're doing from the high level of faith and God-centeredness and child-centeredness that they are doing, along with a program that I almost have to stand back and say, we certainly weren't this good when we were leaders decades ago, from what I recall. God's plan, God's purpose, means that we need to walk with Him in faith, in trust, obedience, and realize that a lot of times the things around us are disappointing. It's hard for me to see my parents, my dad, 88, my dad, 93, my mother, 88, very quickly losing some of their mobility or their cognitive memory or things like that, and all of the things that have passed so quickly. You know, right in the middle of this COVID time, my parents had their 65th anniversary. My wife and I had our 35th anniversary. The big joke is now we're 100 together, 65 plus 35. But many great celebrations were missed. Births, deaths, anniversaries, weddings, family times. Lord, what good can come out of COVID? But yet I see many kids who have a deep new appreciation for family, for school, for sports, for friends, for faith, for reading and reading the Word of God as I've talked with them. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. That was kind of funny what Tony shared, wasn't it? Not funny, but here the church gets asked to use their space and they're going to donate to the church and they're going to make sure things are cleaned up and their work can get done. It's a testimony to the faith of the consistory, the board that allowed this. Even good can come out of these last days of COVID. Let's take this time to draw closer to God, to hear His word, to say, Lord God, here I am, use me. Sort of like the Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Sort of like Isaiah, here I am, use me. 1 Samuel 3, Isaiah chapter 6, worthy passages to look up. So I just want to conclude by stating once again the three things I think we can find from these verses. God allows punishment, natural consequences, times to repent, restorative justice. God never forgets His children, and that's you and I today now, July 11th, 2021, when another phase of COVID will be behind us. God never forgets His children, no matter how lost. He longs for them to return. He calls and calls and is patient and persistent and perseverant. And He calls us His virgin Israel, He the true bridegroom. God allows punishment. He never forgets His children. And He has a plan and a purpose. And take that personally. God has a plan and a purpose, yes, for the world, yes, for His church, yes, for this church, yes, for your family, but for you and you and you and I. God has a plan and a purpose. He knows what they are. We just have to pray, Thy will be done. And let's find ways to pray for others, those who have been here, neighbors and family and friends. Let's show that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so all of this comes under the message title of restoration. Yes, we want things to be restored. Lord, can they be back to the way they were? Whether it's with masks or family or grandchildren or children, whether it's work or other things, can things be restored, please, Lord? But I added a little word there, restoration plus. Can we keep coming out of this time, out of our exile in Babylon, out of our exile in COVID? Can we be restored to what it was soon? Can it be more than just restoration? Can we leave this with a new appreciation for the Lord's leading the church, family, friends, neighbors? Let's not just be restored to what it was. Let's look at God's word and say, hey, you restored Israel before. Hey, we know what we had a year and a half ago. Can we be restored to that? No, Lord. Can it be better than that? Because, Lord, can you change my heart to listen to you a little bit more clearly, to walk in your way a little bit more boldly, to be a little bit more humble, to be a better listener and servant? Lord, please, when you return, find us faithful and bearing your fruit, the fruit of your Spirit, and maybe even the fruit of more of your children being restored to you, and maybe people who were not your children coming to you. Lord, we boldly ask, we humbly ask, that you give us the right balance of boldness and humbleness in this world, even if it's those with those who are closest to us and those who are further away. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, for in the last few weeks opening up the truth of the restoration of Israel as something that can be applied to the truth of the restoration of your church, your people, here now in 2021. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a people who are not simply blessed, but who are blessed to be a blessing. Lord, make us a beacon and a light. Help us to shine. Help us to shine when our mouths are open and when our mouths are closed. Help us to shine when we give and times when we wait. Help us to shine when we move forward and sometimes even when we move backward. Lord, help us to be your people in your world as they recover through the many needs that people will have in a mental health perspective from what I've heard. People need the Lord. And Father, maybe we can be a part of shining our light. Like the children sang at camp, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Lord, continue to be with those at camp in this second of the 8 weeks of their ministry. Continue to be with your people here in Whitby at Emmanuel. Lord, be with those in our friends and family circles who have special needs. And may the truth of your word, the light of your Spirit, shine even brighter as you restore us and seek us to be more than just simply restored to who we were. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we have our closing hymn of He Leadeth Me, I first of all want to thank you for the faithfulness that you've shown in this challenging time, the faithfulness of the many people who are working behind the scenes here at Emmanuel, for the way that you share your faith and live it in a real way and look forward to God's leading in what's coming next. Thank you to all who serve in so many ways. And let me challenge you this coming Tuesday when they have the consistory and the elders meeting to be praying for them and maybe even to let them know that you are praying for them, the elders as they meet at 6, the consistory at 7. I think a few of us have a new and greater appreciation for healthcare workers. Find ways to thank one or two of them that you might know in a general way or a specific way. So when we come before God, we're going to hear the words of the benediction in just a few minutes, and then we're going to sing, standing together and sing, He Leadeth Me. So at this time, let's stand for the benediction. Many years ago, the Lord said to Moses to talk to Aaron and tell him to bless the people with these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Amen.